long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today. We have a lot to cover. There's just so much going on and things are changing so quickly. We just have to get to it. But the first thing we do is what? Yeah, we start in prayer, don't we? As it should and always will be. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. We give you praise and thanksgiving today. This is a day that you've made, and your word says we will rejoice and be glad in it. Your word says that where you are, that's where our fullness of joy exists. In the presence of you is where we have fullness of joy, which means we should be able to have joy all the time if we can walk in your presence and walk in your spirit. Help us to do that more and more. As the end approaches, let our light shine brighter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is going to seem like I'm all over the place, and I really am not, but I want to start with a passage about sowing and reaping. And this has, at this point, nothing to do with giving to your church, giving to this ministry. I mean, you may do all those things, and we certainly appreciate it. However, that is not the purpose of the sowing and reaping passages, which we see primarily out of Mark 4, but then also in Matthew 13. But what I want to cover here initially is that I think I have spent 98% of my Christian life thinking that sowing meant sowing into something else, somebody's ministry, some church, some parachurch organization, some organization that does good deeds, like Feed the Children, or I forgot what Franklin Graham's, the Samaritan's Purse. They're all over the place, and I've given to all of them. Based on the Mark 4, which talks about the seed that falls on hard ground, and then the bird comes in, which is the enemy, and steals it before there is any opportunity for it to take root. And the next passage talks about being sown in rocky soil, which can't go very deep. It can't get much root. Because it can't get much root, when the sun comes up, it's hard on the plant, and we got a scorched earth situation. And it gives it up. Those are people, they are emotionally receiving of the Lord, and it doesn't take much persecution for them to just go to fry and go dry. So then it gets to being sown among thorns, which Scripture talks about the cares of the world. And they choke out the good word, and they choke out the fruit, and that being the case, you don't bring forth what we should. And that talks about the word being sown in us, and then there's the good soil. The good, I like to call it loam. I mean, the super, it's better than Iowa topsoil. This is so far from the topic, but I met a guy from Iowa the other day, and I said, do you know you've got the deepest topsoil in the entire earth? Well, I'm sorry, at least in the United States. But it may be the earth. It's that incredible. On the west side of the Mississippi River, the topsoil is in various places between 17 and 20 feet deep. That's why those corn stalks in Iowa, and I've been through there in the late summer, and they go to about 9 feet. That's good soil. That's agricultural land that will sell for $20,000 and $25,000 an acre. Why? Because it's good soil. But while this passage talks about how we can be fruitful, how we can have a return of 30, 60, 90-fold, how we should not be caught up with the briars and the thorns and have our works, our good works choked out, why we shouldn't be fried by the sun because we don't go very deep in the rocky soil and we're only emotional hearers, and worst of all, right back to square number one, how if you just have a hard-packed road and that's where the seed lands, then the birds are going to come and pick it up. And that probably happened to me for a number of years in church. I was just a hard road. It was a hard road to hoe. And whatever got sown, it didn't get sown. It just laid on the top of me on a hard dirt path. And then Satan would come along and pluck it away. But what we don't ever seem to talk about when in application, I really hear these passages dealing with sowing into somebody's ministry, sow into this work and that work, and you'll redeem, or you'll get this kind of return. And I'm not knocking that, but there is something that is lacking in that teaching. And here we go. I'm going back to the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And you're probably wondering, when am I going to be over this? Well, I hope I'm never over it. I hope it continues to motivate me and inspire me in new and different ways as I contemplate different things. I mean, what was Charlie Kirk saying? Here I am, Lord, take me. You know, are we ready to do what God has called us to do? Have we been doing what God's called us to do? Have we even been preparing to do what God's called us to do? Well, like Elijah, Charlie said, you know, here I am. Take me. Well, what I got to thinking here was, Charlie Kirk wasn't perfect. There's a couple of issues that I disagreed with him on. I think he was a little bit hard at times on Benjamin Netanyahu, but what have you. We've got dark spots. We got spots that are, there's a deficit. I did hear him say when he was over in Oxford, he doesn't really give a rip. About end times teaching. He said, if it doesn't apply to here and now, he's not interested. Well, all right. Well, I thought, well, Charlie, you know, it does apply to here and now because it tells you about how to prepare for the end of times. And it must have application because the end times are covered in Zechariah, Daniel, three of the Gospels, the book of Revelation. You know, you can't just throw those out. I'm not beating him up. Charlie was good and maybe the best at what he did in his time. Donald Trump, not perfect, but he's the best we got. Benjamin Netanyahu, maybe he's not perfect, but right now he's the best Israel has. And we work with what we have. So the thought that came to me was, do we ever consider sowing into ourselves? Why don't you think about this for a minute? What do we do to ourselves that would constitute a sowing unto with a fruitful return? And the reason this has come up is because I don't know of anybody that left the memorial not knowing, you know, what can I do next? What can I do now? And you got these different chapters showing up. And what struck me about 3 or 4 days ago, and it's taken some time for this to percolate, I thought, God, I want to do more, but I don't have any time. I still work. I still practice law. I do an hour and a half a week of programming or of radio, and the programming is many hours times that to prepare. It's not like it's a sermon I preached 2 years ago and I pull it out, something like that. No, I'm working with brand new material to research and correlate and pull together to present every single week. It's not a quick task. So in my prayer time, I just said to the Lord, God, I can't do any more. I am doing all I possibly can. And then a light went on. And this is a question I want you to ask yourself. If you're not doing what you can, then start doing what you can. If you are doing all you feel like you can do for the Lord, for the kingdom of God, then ask the question, is there some way that whatever I am doing, I can do better? Could I improve? Could I become more efficient? Could I be more effective? What do I need to do within the space I'm working to be more impactful? Maybe I can't do more, but maybe what I do do, I can do better. That is what struck me. And it took me to I have some agricultural land, and I don't even need to tell you where it is. And it's land that is not very fruitful. It's got timber, love that. But the grazing land, it's barely grazing land. And why? Well, because for many years and long before I acquired it, it was a potato farm. Potatoes are hard on the soil. They're like tobacco. Tobacco is hard on the soil. Potatoes are hard on the soil. It takes a lot out. I get it, and it makes sense because of all of the vegetables, or whatever you want to call a potato, no single food item contains more minerals and vitamins than a potato. That's why the Irish could live on them, right? And why when there was a potato famine, it was a famine, because potatoes is what they lived on. It was of God because he wanted some Irish over here in the U.S., and that's why they came. Because of the potato famine. And so I thought, well, what's the problem with the soil? Well, when it was actually potato farmed, they didn't put anything into the soil. You see, because a potato is such a complete item, it draws, to get that, it has to draw it out of the soil. And if it draws it out of the soil doesn't have anything left. And the soil was never replenished. It wasn't turned over. There probably was not a Sabbath year rest for the crop. Probably sowed every year, which was a mistake. And it was depleted. And I'm thinking, sometimes I feel depleted doing this program and the other program. I just feel like, gosh, I've drawn out of me all I can do. But maybe it's time to put something back into the soil. Maybe it's time to turn the soil over. Maybe it's time for a Sabbath year rest, although I'm not looking to take time off here from the radio, but maybe I need to be putting fertilizer in. Because I've never really looked at the idea of sowing into this ministry, my own ministry. Have you looked to sow into whatever you do? And I'm going to read you a passage out of Hosea. And if you think that there's some, if you have some thought that the concept of sowing into our own ground is a novel concept and that might not be biblical, I am here to instruct you otherwise. The book of Hosea. Hosea, can you see? Well, you can see on Hosea 10, verse 12. And I quote, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you." Well, I am looking at breaking up some fallow ground. I mean, the fact of the matter is you can't just plant the same crop each year in a soil that's not been turned over. Whatever is in the top 10 inches of the soil is gone if you turn it over. The topsoil goes underneath. It has a chance to replenish with the decay and decomposition of whatever is on top of it, hay stubble, you name it, bringing fresher dirt up to the top to produce a new, bigger, and a greater crop. So I'm back to that question. Would you sow to yourself and pray about what could I do in sowing to myself? What can I do, not more, but what can I do of what I do that I could do better, more effectively, more efficiently, and maybe most of all with a greater impact on the world and the people that are around us? And I want to give you a couple of other passages that deal with sowing here before I'll get to kind of what I'd like to open up. But the question then is, how are you sowing? Well, interestingly, in Leviticus 19:19, there is a prohibition against sowing mixed seed. Now, this seems like common sense to us, right? You wouldn't go down a cornfield and throw in some corn, some seed for wheat, and potatoes, all in the same. No. Now, there is a theory of farming these days that you plant one thing in one row and something else in a row that then is between the first thing you planted forms row three. How that somehow these crops actually can support each other in ways that we never thought possible. We probably haven't done it because it sort of makes harvesting a big hassle. But they're doing it, and it's quite effective. Well, where is the analogy here about not sowing mixed seed? And for me, and I'm going to assume that it's a case for many of you, you say, well, what can I do? Well, don't mix your seed. Don't go out and say, well, I'm going to do these three or four things for God. Well, maybe he's told you to do that. But if your heart really sends you in a particular direction, if your passion arises in something, something causes you to rise up and not take a nap. You want to know more about this. You don't want to go to bed so early. What have you? If you're doing multiple things, but with less effort for each one that you could be for one, or maybe an adjunct to that one thing. I mean, some people will have a radio ministry, and the adjunct to that is writing and selling books coming out of that. Well, okay, because I've got a couple of books out there, but that's not the way I look at it, but I kind of understand that. But don't cut your time in quarters to give four things equal time and none of them the time that it should have. Now, I'm preaching to myself here because I am pretty spread out in different ways and what I do. I try and do different things that I think would be beneficial to the kingdom of God. But I also do other things. Maybe some would call it being entangled in the world. I don't know, because I like it. You know, like buying and selling real estate, try to make a little money. I mean, I just love it. I love dirt. I love dirt more than I love houses. So I like farmland. And I would only say that I've got to take a look at how do I really allocate the time left, whatever that may be, that God has given me. So I don't want to continue to sow mixed seed. Too much time into too many different things. Of course, we know the passage out of 2 Corinthians 9:6, that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. So with that, obviously, I say, well, I got to sow into this thing that I'm going to be doing. Well, you know what? I'm just going to do this a little bit, see how it goes. Well, you know what? You do a little bit, probably get a little bit. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Now, we know that in the context of giving, don't we? That's really the only context any of us ever consider this, me included. However, the fact of the matter is, if you sow sparingly into yourself, something that you are going to be doing or doing for the kingdom of God, but it's your ministry as God would give it to you, you know, a little bit in will be a little bit out. So don't think that it's you're overdoing it. If God leads you to do more, then do more. Scripture talks about sowing in so many ways. And Job talks about those who sow wickedness and they reap the same. Psalm 126:9 talks about those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Well, okay. So the question is, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? The passage in John, which I brought up a couple of weeks ago, John 12:24, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth much fruit." I brought that up in the context of Charlie Kirk. He died. He was a seed that went into the ground. And without question in my mind, I don't know if the ministry of Turning Point USA will be greater, but the effect of the ministry of TPUSA will be far greater than had he lived. And so I take that concept and bring it back over to sowing into whatever it is you're looking to do or what God has given you to do. And it might be that there is a feature of death in that. And what do I mean? Well, maybe death to those things which I've hung on to too long. I've got to let certain things die. On the surface, I might say, well, I've got to make space for more time to do this thing. Well, I'm not to the more time yet, because I told you, I only have so much time. But maybe I need to die out to certain activities, things that I pick up and do, and I enjoy them, or else I wouldn't do them. But maybe I have to surrender certain things and die out so that whatever I've died out to, that which I have given my heart and life to in greater measure and with purpose to do better, those things which I have been doing that I'm retaining could bear the fruit that it ought to bear. I mean, it's true with Jesus, right? You know, we have this reward as the righteous. And how do we allocate our time? So I'm just going to throw this out because this seems like the program to do it. I could have done this on a political show. Maybe I'd do a bit of it on that side. But I'm actually thinking about going back to one program a week. There is my death, if you will, to give something up. Wouldn't be a half hour. It'd be a half hour program. If you've listened to me any time, everything in politics and the world going on, there's ramifications in the kingdom of God among God's children. And everything in the spirit world has impact on the political side. I've often said, quit trying to separate them. This whole idea of a wall of separation is bogus. You cannot separate them. I will tell you one of the things that I have done, very similar to Charlie Kirk, although there are very few things I suppose I would even come close to measuring up. He touched all facets of life. He touched political. He touched directly faith things. He touched things that were economic, legal, immigration. And if you've listened to my program any period of time, you know I touch on all sorts of topics to bring to you what I sense the Word of God speaks about, the right to self-defense and carrying firearms, immigration, is there climate change, and bringing the Word of God to all of those areas which the world says are important, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but certainly a lot of Christians think that they're important because the world says they're important. And it's time to be kind of straightened out on those things. That has been the essence of what I have done for 21 years now to try to get people to think biblically about every meaningful topic in life. Because every meaningful topic in life is in the Word, but every meaningful topic in life pops up in our life, in the moment, in the here and now, for which people are concerned. And with that, I'm not decided to do this, but I'm thinking maybe I need to give up one, bring the two back together. Possibly I've had encouragement to do this. I've pushed back on it. Am I lazy? Am I an old dog that can't teach new tricks? I don't know. Maybe it's D, all of the above. But going to video. How do I reach more people? I'm not on Facebook because I don't want to be on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter or X. I'm not on Instagram. I am not that easy to find. And I kind of liked it that way. And this isn't about me getting myself out. But question is, how do I do what I do better? How can it be more effective, more impactful? And then expanding the program, not just the video, but to bring on certain guests that can speak to an issue maybe better than I can, or just bring out something that I would not have thought of. If you've listened to this program for the last year or two, you know how much more frequently I am quoting people. And why? Because I have no interest in trying to be out front. I kind of like to want to be the Johnny Carson. I'm okay having others look good. And that's why if somebody else can say it better than I can say it, I'm going to read it and give full attribution to the person who wrote that article. And then have them on the radio program and expand on that. I could learn, he could learn. I want to be able to reach more people. I just am not sure exactly how to do it, but these are the ideas that I'm asking for prayer. Yeah, it's going to take some money, and this is not a solicitation. Not at all. God will provide what needs to be provided for to expand in that manner with a hope that if, in fact, this is what God would have me to do, that it'd be ready to go by the end of this year. Now, I'm not crazy about this. I mean, I ran for office 5 times. I loved radio interviews. I hated video. I hated taped interviews on TV. I just never thought, maybe I'm going to just do something stupid. Who knows? Maybe it's I start rubbing my right eye uncontrollably. I'd like to think I wouldn't ever pick my nose. All right, I just go say that because I don't think I would. It's not a normal habit, but who knows what happened. I sort of just don't like it. But I'm going to have to do something more and not do something more, but do what I've been doing better. And that's the way that seems like the people could be reached. So consider sowing to yourselves in righteousness, in mercy. What is it that you have been called to do that you haven't done? Maybe you're like me, you're just kind of waiting for something miraculous to happen. The miracle is for me to get off my duff to expand in that sense, do something that I've been doing better. Where are you in that? Could you sow to yourself? Could you let something in your life die so that it can bring forth much fruit in an area in which God has called you? This is what I'm downloading from the Kirk Memorial this week, week number 4. Oh my, what a blessing. Please listen to this message.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
So turn over your soil. Let things die that need to die. Get rid of the thorns and the briars. That's all that kept that one person from having the word bring forth much fruit. God bless you. We'll see you next week.